today. That's going to flow right in, and it's going to begin to touch lives, and I'm just excited about God's goodness. How many are glad that we can just be a part of the purpose and plan that God has for us? Amen. Just be a part of it. And the only way we could do that is we got to be willing to answer the call when God calls us to do something. We just got to say yes. On the other side of yes, that's where it all starts. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just right on the other side of that. Thank you, Lord. God is good to us. Well, we're going to have several things that's going to happen this morning. This is Mission Sunday. How many ready to sow into missions? Amen. How many know there's people all around the world that need our support and our help? And we want to answer the call when he says, go ye into all the world. Amen. And preach the gospel. And there's an impact that we can have. Many people never get to travel and go to these places, but you're able to send people who can go. And that's what's incredible. Some of you are going to be going on your first trip. How many is going to be your first time going on a missions this one coming up? Your first time going on missions? Let me see your hand. First time going. All right. Two. All right. Several of you here. First time going. Well, get ready. You're going to never be the same when you get back. I hope you're ready. Isn't that a fact, Pastor David? It just changes you. Glory to God. So we're excited about that. Well, we're going to have a special song and a dance and all. We're just so excited for them being here with us from Costa Rica. Give her a big hand. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was amazing. We appreciate, you know, let me know that, you know, that you just, we just worship him, and you just, that expression to just give him glory and honor and praise. And so we're just so thankful that we, God gives us an opportunity to do that. Amen. To just give him all the praise. You're holy, you're holy, you're holy. God is so good. And I just appreciate the Lord. Who's going to be helping? Nolan? Okay, Pastor. We're so glad they're here and was able to come this year. And we appreciate them. We look forward to being with them. Let me get another mic. Okay.
Muy buenos días.
Good afternoon, good morning.
Quiero agradecer al Señor, a los pastores, a cada uno de ustedes, que es un privilegio haberlos conocido,
to know you,
a cada uno de ustedes.
Each and every one of you.
Por misericordia de Dios,
by his mercy,
soy pastora en Costa Rica.
I'm a pastor at Costa Rica.
Por 18 años.
For 18 years.
Soy pastora general.
She's a general pastor.
Y es un privilegio.
It's a privilege.
Que el Señor me haya llamado.
That the Lord has called her.
Como pastora.
To pastor.
Aunque en muchos países.
Many countries.
No se avala.
Don't approve of that. Do not.
Que una mujer sea pastor.
That a woman pastor would be a pastor.
Pero doy gracias a Dios.
She thanks the Lord so much
por este regalo precioso.
For the gift that he has given
her. De servirle a Dios.
To serve him.
Al Rey de Reyes.
The King of Kings.
Al Señor de Señores.
The Lord of Lords.
Que en el corazón de él.
The heart of the Lord.
Han estado las mujeres.
The women have been in his heart.
El Señor ha levantado.
He has lifted many women.
Mujeres llenas.
Full.
Del Espíritu Santo.
Of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit.
Hacernos libres.
To set people free.
Para restaurar.
Bring life or to recover those that are in need.
A muchas mujeres.
To many, many women, even.
Y es un privilegio.
And it's a privilege.
Y no tengo palabras.
She has no words.
Para agradecer al Señor.
To give the Lord, you know, words of gratitude.
Por esos 18 años.
For the 18 years.
De estar al frente.
To be here.
De hombres,
in front of men,
jóvenes,
young men,
niños,
children,
y de muchas personas,
and several people,
y darme la fortaleza,
to give her the privilege,
de saber,
to know,
a quién le servimos,
and who is the Lord, who is God.
Quiero decirles,
I want to tell you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much.
En Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica.
Les esperamos.
We'll wait for you.
Con los brazos abiertos.
With open arms.
Millones.
Millions.
Y millones de bendiciones.
Millions of blessings.
Para cada uno de ustedes.
For each and every one of you.
Agradezco.
She is gracious.
Al Señor.
To the Lord.
Por el pastor Roosevelt,
for his son, her son-in-law Roosevelt,
por Lucy,
Lucy her daughter,
Lucy es mi hija,
Lucy is her daughter,
Roosevelt mi yerno,
and his son-in-law Roosevelt,
y por mi esposo,
and for her husband Alberto,
por Tito.
Tito.
y por el respaldo
and for the support
del Señor.
Of the Lord.
Honra y gloria.
All honor and glory.
Solo para él.
To him.
Muchas gracias.
So many thanks.
Bendiciones.
And blessings.
What an honor to have them. We appreciate them, and we look forward to spending some time there at their church. This will be our first time doing something with them, and we appreciate them. Pastor Roosevelt? So I should have told you to stay up here, Sister Esther. let me just share this. So he'll hear this, okay? Yeah. This would not be possible if Brother Brian wouldn't have answered the call to come for Katrina. You see, everything counts. Everything.
Todo.
We don't know it when we're doing it.
No sabemos cuando lo estamos haciendo.
But God had this right here in mind.
Dios tenía todo planeado.
And this is Sister Esther, his wife. Say me.
Me?
Me. And I'm so glad he answered the call. So she can now translate for us. Amen. Isn't that good?
Amen. I'm trying.
Bendiciones.
Blessings.
Dios es grande.
God is big.
El pastor me dio 30 minutos para hablar con ustedes.
The pastor gave me 30 minutes to speak to you all.
Pero yo no voy a hablar con ustedes.
But I'm not going to talk to you.
Dios va a hablar con ustedes.
God is going to speak to you.
No me ve a mí, no ve al hombre.
Don't look at him, don't look at man.
Aunque mi voz hoy sea como de mujer, no me ve a mí.
Even though my voice sounds like a woman, just don't look at me.
No me escucha a mí.
Don't listen to him.
Escucha a Dios.
Listen to God.
¿Sabe lo que el pastor acaba de decir?
Do you know what the pastor just got done saying?
Es algo profético.
It's something prophetic.
De verdad que sí.
It really is.
Cuando Dios quiere unir a sus hijos,
when God wants to unite his children,
no le importa las fronteras,
doesn't matter what the situation,
no le importa el idioma,
or the language,
lo único que importa,
the only thing that matters,
es una sola sangre,
one blood,
la sangre de Jesús,
the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hoy yo estoy acá,
I am here now,
pero mañana algunos de ustedes estarán en Costa Rica predicando.
And some of you will be in Costa Rica preaching.
Así que si no tiene aún su pasaporte,
if you don't have your passport,
se está atrasando, vaya a sáquelo.
Go ahead, hurry. You're getting behind.
Muévase y saque ese pasaporte.
Yeah, move.
¿Sí? Okay.
Yes.
Bien. Como me quedan ya solamente como 15 minutos,
now I only have 15 minutes.
Yo le voy a regalar a ustedes 2 minutos. Yo se los regalo a ustedes. De mis 15, le regalo 2 a ellos.
He's giving you 2 minutes as a gift out of his 15 minutes.
Okay? Póngase de pie y vaya y salude a alguna persona con la cual usted casi no comparte. Okay?
Please stand and greet each other. As those that you don't know, just kind of greet each other and.
Con la que no comparta.
With those that you don't know, or just associate with those that you don't know. Just.
Okay, corre el tiempo.
Hurry! He only has 2 minutes.
Vamos, vamos! Salga, salga, salga de la silla.
Hurry, hurry! Get out of your seat.
Dele una bendición a esa persona.
Say blessings to them. Okay. He says, say blessings to them.
Dele un fuerte abrazo.
Give him a big, huge hug.
Bendiciones.
Oh, qué preciosa.
Ok, quedan 30 segundos.
Quedan, there's 3 seconds. A ver si me va a salir en
español. Bien, puede tomar su lugar.
Ok, thanks. You can all sit now.
¿Saben? La mayoría de las personas,
the majority of the people,
tienen llaves.
Have keys.
¿Cierto?
True.
Casi todos tienen llaves.
Everyone has keys.
¿Sí o no?
Yes or no.
¿Cuántos andan sus llaves ahí?
I'm sorry.
¿Cuántos andan las llaves ahí?
How many have their keys with them?
Sí, sáquela, sáquela. Hágala sonar, hágala sonar.
Take them out. Let me hear them.
Oh, qué bueno. Pastor, ¿dónde están sus llaves?
Where are your keys?
El pastor perdió las llaves.
He lost his keys.
Oh, Dios.
Oh, God.
Voy a cambiar de pastor. Voy a cambiar de pastor.
He's going to change pastor.
Pastor, ahí están las llaves.
Oh,
gracias.
He's got his keys. Thank you, Lord.
Pero, ¿para qué sirven las llaves?
So what are the keys good for?
Okay, vamos a ver. ¿Para qué sirven las llaves?
What are the keys good for? He's asking a question.
¿Para abrir la casa?
Sí.
Oh, ya entiende inglés.
He understands English now.
¿Para qué más? ¿Para qué what sirven more? Las llaves?
What are the keys good for? El carro.
Para manejar el carro. Un mes más y ya sé inglés perfecto.
One more month and he'll know perfect English.
¿Sí? Las llaves sirven para abrir o cerrar.
The keys are good for either to close or open.
Hay algo que me preocupa.
Something that that bothers me. That bothers him.
No lo voy a usar.
No lo voy a usar. He doesn't want to use it. He feels tied down. It bothers him that the pastor lost his keys. If he closed or locked the door at the house, and she doesn't have any, if his wife doesn't have keys, he can't get in. They can't get in. That's a problem. And he gave the wife the problem, too.
Ahora ninguno de los dos pueden entrar.
Now, neither one of them can come in.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
¿Qué representa las llaves?
What does the keys represent? Oh, I'm sorry. What does the keys represent for you?
Open and close. To go somewhere, to open your house.
Cerrar y abrir y para la casa.
No. No para qué sirven. ¿Qué representan?
What does it represent to you? What is the autoridad?
Eso sí lo entendí. Autoridad, poder.
Authority and power.
¿Sabe? ¿Me da sus llaves?
Can you give him his keys a second?
Cuando él me da las llaves de
When you give him the keys from your car, you're understanding that he can drive your car.
Él me da la autoridad a mí.
You're giving him the authority
para manejar su car.
To drive your car.
Okay. ¿Las llaves?
Do you have your keys?
No.
Have your keys?
Cuando él me da la llave de su casa,
when she gives him the house to, or the keys to her house, she trusts him.
Que no me voy a robar nada de su casa.
That he's not going to take anything from your home. That he's not going to do anything in your home.
Por eso me da las llaves.
That's ¿sí? why you gave him the keys.
Porque puedo hacer cosas buenas en su casa.
Because you can do good things in your home.
Pero
he
no
can
es
do
casa.
Good things.
¿Sí?
But it is not her his house.
Ahí?
Do you understand that?
Quiero que vaya conmigo a la Biblia, un momento.
He wants you to go to the Bible.
En San Mateo. San Mateo.
Matthew.
16.
16.
19.
19.
Okay. Vamos a leer bien, bien rápido allí.
He's going to read really quick.
No, they can.
Okay? ¿Sí? Okay. San Mateo está después de Génesis. Síguele. San Mateo está después de Génesis.
San Mateo is our Matthew is after Genesis.
Y antes de Apocalipsis.
And before a capital Más o capitalists. Menos ahí. Ahí lo usa. I can't say it.
Okay? Dice así. Y a ti daré las llaves. Quiero leer, es lo que dice la Biblia.
He wants you to read that.
Y a ti daré las llaves del reino de los cielos.
To you I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Y todo lo que atares en la tierra.
And everything that you have on earth.
Será atado en los cielos.
Will also be in heaven.
Y todo lo que desate en la tierra. Desamarre en la tierra.
And anything that you dame la mano, por favor. Okay. But I don't have my glasses.
Oh, I'll read it.
Okay, you read it.
16? 19. Okay. Simon Peter, you... Oh, wait. I'm reading the wrong chapter.
Matthew 16:19.
Oh. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall loose on earth will be loose in heaven.
God says
que él le da a usted
that he will give to you
muchas llaves.
Many keys.
No una llave.
Not just one.
Muchas llaves.
Many keys.
A usted Dios le ha dado la llave del amor.
God has given you the key of love.
La llave del respeto.
The key of respect.
La llave de la oración, orar.
The key of praying.
La llave del poder.
The key of power.
Dios dice,
God says,
y recibirán poder.
And you will receive power
cuando el Espíritu de Dios
when the Spirit of God falls on you, falls upon you. The pastor has power. Pastor Charlotte has power because the Spirit of the Lord is on them. This is the key that he's given to both of them. And you that are sitting there, you also have the keys of the kingdom. But if you don't use those keys, it doesn't do you any good. The keys, they are not to be lost. The keys or the gifts are for you to keep. You all need to know.
¿Dónde están las llaves?
To know where the keys are.
Porque si usted no sabe dónde están las llaves,
because if you don't know where they are, when you go to use them,
se mueve loco buscándolas.
You go crazy finding them. Where are the keys? Where are the keys? Where are the keys? Lucy, where are they? I'm sorry, what? The people lose their keys. If you lose the keys of the kingdom, you are in problems. How many of you have not just lost your keys for the kingdom, but your car keys, your house keys? He wants you to raise your hands. Many times, yes. And Brian's always losing the keys. True. Nola's got the same problem. Have you lost your keys at any time? Whatever. Was it hard to find them?
Se desesperó.
Did you get impatient?
¿Sabe, si usted pierde las llaves,
if you lose your keys,
usted se atrasa con lo que va a hacer.
You get behind with what you're going to do or intend to do.
No llega a tiempo.
You won't get there in time.
Y hoy en día,
and today,
muchos hijos de Dios,
many children of God have gotten behind with the keys of the kingdom. You cannot. You cannot leave those keys lost. There's many young people that have lost the respect. There's many young people that have lost the willingness to help in the church. Many that don't want to help the pastor. He doesn't say that because pastor invited him to the koinonia. It's the reality of the church. The pastor works by himself. He does everything, plays the bass, preaches, prays for the sick, he cleans the church. And where is the church? They lost the keys. There isn't any kind of responsibility. Jesus on the cross, he knew where his key was. He never lost his keys. I am in conclusion. God says, what you do here on earth, will he'll know in heaven. What happens here will be, he will know in heaven. Many of us have closed the doors to blessings. Close the door, and we throw the keys away. And blessings do not come. Because we don't have the keys anymore. God wants to bless your life. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your children. God wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your job. But if you close the door, if I close the door, and if I tell God I don't want anything, don't do that. Don't hold your blessings back. There is a purpose, like Pastor has said, why you are here, what the purpose of God has for you. Do you know what it is? You can continue the kingdom of God. But if you don't have the keys to open the correct doors and close those doors that you should close, you are delaying the work of the Lord. I know that you don't want to do that. He's asking that all would close your eyes. Just a moment. Think a minute. If you have lost any keys of the kingdom, that's between you and God. I can't do anything about those keys. The pastor and Pastor Charlotte, they can't do anything about those keys. Only you can do with those keys. If you have lost the keys of the kingdom, the power to pray, to read the Bible, to preach the word, faith, having faith, the love, the respect, it doesn't matter what key. If you lost that key, speak to the Lord and ask him to help you to find that key. He'd like to pray for you. Lord, in this morning, We just want to give you the thanks for all of you.
Tú sabes que en algún momento,
you know, in any moment, Lord,
yo he perdido las llaves de mi vida.
I have lost the keys in my life.
Perdí las llaves del reino.
I lost the keys of the kingdom.
Desperdicié mi vida.
I wasted my life. I didn't do anything with my life.
Porque mis llaves estaban perdidas.
Because my keys were lost.
Pero un día,
but one day,
usted me dio las llaves,
you gave me the keys
del reino.
Of the kingdom.
Y hoy estoy dentro del reino.
And now I am in the kingdom.
Soy parte del reino.
I am part of the kingdom.
Y extiendo el reino.
And I extend that kingdom.
Abre las puertas.
Open the doors, Lord.
De bendición.
Of blessings.
Sobre esta iglesia.
To this church.
Sobre cada familia.
In every family.
Con las llaves que tú me has dado.
With the keys that you have given me.
De bendición.
Of blessings. I bless all of them
en el nombre del Padre.
In the name of the Lord,
en el nombre del Hijo.
In the name of the Son,
en el nombre del Espíritu Santo.
And the Holy Spirit.
Y declaro,
and I declare
que nunca más,
that never again,
perderemos las llaves.
Never again we'll lose the keys.
Que vamos a amarnos.
We are going to love
en esta iglesia habrá mucho amor.
Each other and with lots of love,
mucho respeto.
With lots of respect.
Mucho trabajo.
A lot of work.
Las sillas que hoy están sin personas.
And the chairs that are empty today,
estarán llenas.
They will be filled.
Estarán llenas.
They will be filled.
Estarán llenas.
They will be filled.
En el nombre de Jesús.
In the name of Jesus.
Porque ese es el propósito del reino.
Because that is your purpose of the kingdom.
Señor,
God.
Por hacerte presente hoy acá. Gracias, Dios.
To be present in this service.
Señor, gracias por el pastor Jesse.
Thank you for the pastor Jesse, for his wife, for the work that he is doing in this place. Thank you for the pastor that also has a part of it, and for his wife. Thank you for their work. Thank you because they have their keys correct.
Gracias, Dios, porque tú abres puertas para ellos.
Thank you, Lord, because you've been opening doors for them.
Dios, gracias.
Thank you, Lord,
por lo que tú has hecho hoy.
For all that you have done today. Amen.
Antes de darle el espacio al pastor,
before he gives you the passage,
quiero decirles algo de mi corazón.
He wants to say something from his heart.
Hace mucho tiempo atrás,
A while back, he was very tired about the problems at the church. He would fight or argue with a pastor at that church. One day he lost respect in a way it was terrible. He took him by his shirt and he hit him. And the Lord said, if anyone should touch one of his sons, and he touched him. 9 years. He was on the streets, far away from God. Because he lost the keys of respect. The pastors cannot do it all by themselves. La pastora, she hasn't been able to do it all by herself. Today, that's why you're all sitting here. Make sure of that every day. To come to church with the key of the right key. Don't look for the wrong in people or what she does wrong. Don't look at if she made a mistake. That's having the key of forgiveness or not correct the thought. And he just concludes with this. God saw him one day. Small as he is. And as ugly as he is. And fat as he is.
¿Por qué cree usted que
y me dio la llave correcta.
Why do you think the Lord called him and gave me the correct key?
Porque a Dios no le importa como ustedes por fuera.
God doesn't care about your outside.
A Dios le importa como es usted por
dentro. God cares about how your heart is in the inside. That's why he called on Brian. He's bald. That's why he called on Pastor Jesse. And then he also called you the bearded one. And this man. Oh, the bearded one, that one. And also all of those. He doesn't care what your outside is, your appearance. He cares about your heart. What is your keys in your heart? He wants to give you a gift. He knows that some of you have problems with the keys. And the pastor has problems with his keys. You're not going to lose them anymore. That's so you can hang your keys now. That won't help. So that you won't lose your keys either. One more. This is a gift from the pastora, part of the church. He wants to give it to the woman, the very special looking woman over there. He has one more.
Para un hombre que es bien pequeño como yo.
To a man that's very short like him. Very small. Almost his size. He's a man of God. He's got the right keys. One more gift, a key. He wants to give it to somebody that's very special to him, from his wife and him. He's got serious problems with his keys. Thank you. For Brian and Nolan.
Thank you so much. Amen. We appreciate that. That's just a preview of what we'll be working and participating in when we go on our trip. And we do appreciate Pastor Roosevelt and the entire team that he brought with him. And we're excited about being there. And we're just so thankful for the goodness of God. God is amazing, isn't he? And it's times like this that we didn't even realize that God had all this in his plans. He saw it. The very first time that you was willing to heed the call, whether it came from your parents that took you by the hand when you was a young child and brought you to the first service, when you heeded that call, God had already saw all of us coming together to help each other and encourage each other. Well, I want to again, thank all of you for being here this morning, and I want to say how I'm honored to have Pastor David, Sister Rhonda. I want to tell you that me and Charlotte has been able to meet a lot of people over the years, but these two people, when God allowed us the opportunity and graced us with the just to meet them, and to spend time with them, it's done amazing in our lives. And I've never seen two people more dedicated to missions and a heart for missions. And I've just never seen it before. And, you know, a lot of people get excited about missions. And it's good to be excited about missions. But they're not excited about missions. They are missions. See, excitement comes and goes. But what I've seen in them and what we witnessed firsthand, we saw it was from, it was in every part of them, every fiber of their being. It no matter where we were, no matter what we were doing, that was always what was talked about and shared. And that's what God looks for, people whose heart is toward him in that way. And I'm so thankful that God put his hands on them and gave us an opportunity just to know them and have them pray for us and invite us to go with them. We've been privileged to be able to do that. And it's an honor of ours, just an honor. And I'm so thankful. I remember the first time that I met Pastor David first on one of our Koinonias, and Pastor Leon Vernon, he was so excited to bring him. He couldn't wait to bring him. And you could see when he spoke of David, it was almost as if he spoke of his own son. And I saw that right off the bat, and I never even met him yet. But when I got a chance to meet him, there was something about it. I'd say, God, just let me know. He said, this guy is the real deal. His heart is toward people. He's not excited about it. It's just in him. It's who he is. It's a part of everything you are. And so it's not a season that you go through. You know, people go through seasons, and they'll tell you, oh, I'm ready. But it's a season of being ready. And when that season ends, they're not ready to do anything. They quit and give up. But what I saw them do is just go at it no matter what they faced. And we were privileged to be invited to go in to a camp meeting. And we were so excited. Man, we were all pumped up to go to this camp meeting, to sit down beside Pastor Leon and just be a part of this camp meeting. And then I got a call, and I went, oh, my, Pastor Leon finished his course. His faith and his race had come to an end. But little did we know that God had already knew all of that way in advance. And we was able to be there and see God launch an amazing outreach ministry that has gone all around the world and has touched thousands upon 10,000s of lives. And I'm telling you, it's because of their commitment. And they've been faithful. And we are honored every time to have them with us and to be in their family and just do what God has called us to do. And I always tell them, you know, we got to eat in vineyards we didn't plant, live in houses we didn't build, because they were willing to go first and do what God's called them to do. And so we want to make sure that we honor that and respect that, because somebody has to answer the call. And that's why they have a ministry that's called You Said Go. And they went and still going. That's amazing. So they're going to come and share with us. They know better about what's going on in Nepal. And we've been getting some updates, but they're on top of this. And how many know there's a lot of people hurting in Nepal right now? And we want to do everything we can to be a blessing to them. Pastor David.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Good to be here today. Praise God. And, you know, it's no accident. My missions journey began 1986, Costa Rica, my first mission trip in Costa Rica in 1986. So little did I know, and little did we know what God had in store. But he had it in store. It was already planned out. This day was planned out in 1986 when he took me to Costa Rica. He said, somewhere down the road, you're going to be in a service with pastors from Costa Rica that linking all this together in his grand plan of bringing the light to dark places. And so, you know, it's not by accident we're here today. Not by accident Pastor here is here today, and the pastors from Costa Rica. It's just God showing how masterful he is in orchestrating his plan. He doesn't have to get up every day and say, wonder how it's going to work today. He already knows how it's going to work today. And he's already in your tomorrow, working on your tomorrow today. Hallelujah. So we serve a wonderful God. Wonderful God. Amen. So wonderful to be here today with you. Just a blessing. Had a great koinonia. Again, thank you all so much. We've said thank you many times, but just can't say thank you enough. What a blessed week it was to see friends and just fellowship and have a good time. Amen. Well, I'm going to briefly give you an update on Nepal. Got some new photos that just came in overnight from Pastor Bim. This is one of the believers' house there in Kathmandu. Just kind of give you a brief update. You're familiar with the name Pastor KB. He's the one. He was here a year ago at Koinonia when Koinonia went international. He was here a year ago. Fortunately, most of all his ministry and buildings and churches we've built over the years and radio stations and all that ministry entails, it has survived the earthquake. They're in western Nepal. They felt it. They've been feeling it. But thank God the buildings have survived. And so now what he's doing, he's sending relief trucks and he's helping through GAN Nepal, Sister Sushila's social work. They are helping the relief effort. And so they're sending trucks from Nepal guns. They're buying supplies in India, which they're close by, and sending them into some remote villages that are being overlooked. So they're part of the relief effort. And so we thank God that they were positioned for such a time as this, that the infrastructure was in place by doing the things they've done, conducting the big camp meetings. This is not overwhelming to them. They just stepped in and said, we're going to start sending food. And when the time comes, they got construction workers that have been building churches. Now they're going to go back into Kathmandu in those areas and help rebuild the churches that have been destroyed. And so they're positioned to be a blessing to their country. And you are a part of that. God knew all this beforehand. So he said, I'm going to raise this ministry up because at some point the country of Nepal is going to need these Nepalis that have trusted in God. And so it's a wonderful plan. So this is in the Kathmandu Valley where Pastor Bim, that we've actually worked with longer than Pastor KB, we started working with Bim in 2001 and have just enjoyed working with this couple. And just in the last 2 or 3 years, his ministry has started to blossom, and he's reaching out into unreached areas of Nepal. And we went one of the areas, Sindhupachok district, up on the China border, and your pastor had the privilege of traveling up that nice little road to Sindhupachok. The pastor up there, we got report last night. Bim's on his way up there now to take an assessment of the area. But according to Pastor Shrum, who works up there, all the houses are destroyed in that area. And so Pastor Bim will be heading up there and getting some photos. You can go to the next slide. This is where they've 8 million Nepalis are displaced by this earthquake. And so this is how a lot of them are living now and will be living like this for some time. This is not a fast turnaround. It's a long-term effort. And, you know, the initial relief efforts, they come and they do their work for a month or two while the media's, you know, behind it. And then a lot of that fades away. But these people are years from being returned to normalcy. And so that's where the church comes in. That's where the church will pick up the pieces when all the media and all the hype blows away and there's another disaster in another part of the world. And so all that transitions to another area. These people like this will still be in tents a year from now. And so that's where we as a church can come in and say, we've not forgot. We've not forgot. Water supplies are in shortage in Kathmandu. So this is people lining up, standing in line to get water. This, again, this will be a long-term problem in the city. Here's one of the tent cities in the Kathmandu Valley. This is some of the buildings. I mean, all over the city, this is how a lot of the buildings look now. You can't live in these. I mean, they got to come in and, you know, tear them down. I mean, they're unlivable. This is a family. Pastor Bim took a photo of 20 people living in that tent behind them. 20 people in a tent. And we'll be like that for some time. This is just next to Pastor Bim's church. And this was where the children were meeting. Over about 100 children in Pastor Bim's church that didn't have any room in his church building. They were meeting in this building. Well, you can't really see it, but the roof over it collapsed and pancaked down through the building. And so this building's destroyed. His church building received, some of you saw some photos the other day of it, but received some roof damage. It's still standing, but it will take some repairs. And we will be assessing the need of that and helping with that. But he's getting some photos sent. We sent some money Friday over for some immediate relief for Pastor Bim and as he comes across needs. But I know today many of our partners in USIT Go Ministries are taking up offerings and having it in place so we can, once Pastor Bim has a full assessment of what's needed, we're going to start doing what we can. Amen. It looks the task is big, but we serve a bigger God. We serve a bigger God, and so we're going to focus with Pastor Bim, who we've worked with, and one of the things that Pastor Leon, as he was on his deathbed, taking some of his last breaths, one of the things he whispered to Rhonda was, "Don't forget about Pastor Bim. Don't forget Bim," he said, and we've not, and we've worked with him, we've invested in his ministry, we built. A lot of structures for his ministry. And so in a time of need, we are not going to forget about Bim. And so we're going to focus, fortunately, Pastor KB as well, infrastructure as well. So we're going to put a lot of our efforts towards Pastor Bim and seeing his ministry coming out better on the other side. That's the thing about some of the, you guys have experienced it here. On the other side, if you'll persevere and walk through it, God is going to have something better on the other side. All the world sees a disaster, but I see a God that's bigger than any disaster. I see a God that can overcome any obstacle if we'll let him work through our life and we'll stay with the plan, stay with the purpose of what God has called us to do and walk through it, we'll see even greater things. And so in a minute, you're going to hear a story about our life and how God has tried to derail our life and our vision. We know the devil likes to try to take you off the vision. We were talking about this some yesterday. And so God has allowed us, and that seems like a strange term, but God has allowed us to walk through some stuff. and some of you understand this, but God has allowed us to walk through some stuff. And we're still walking through some stuff. But in the midst of it, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. And God makes all things work together for the good of those that are called according to his purpose. And what the devil tries to do to destroy, if we'll give God a chance, he'll build something mighty on the rubble of what the devil's tried to do. And so that's what we've seen in our life. And you're going to hear how God just really last year just caught us by surprise. How he showed up in a mighty way and challenged us to expand our capacity and to see past the rubble of what we were walking through personally. You're going to hear a very personal thing that we're dealing with as a mother and a father, something very personal with one of our children. But that's part of the journey. That's part of the testimony that God has allowed us to walk in. It's not easy. But we're walking through it, and in the midst of it, God has allowed us to reach into another country that was desperate for hope. See, Nepal needs hope right now. And thank God we see in 1 Peter 1:3 about a living hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have a living hope, church. It's not, and we don't hope like the world hopes. Our hope is based on a truth that will not be shaken. Will not be moved by what we see or hear, because it is established in his word. And when we grab hold of that, you'll stand. You will stand. And so we've had to grab hold of this, and we've walked this out, and then we've seen God move in a powerful way. I want to read you out of the message, that passage of Scripture, before I have Rhonda come up. It's 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. What a God we have. This is out of the Message. I want to read this out of the Message. What a God we have. I mean, what a God we have. Woo. And how fortunate we are to have Him. This Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. We've got everything to live for. Hallelujah. Including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Anybody putting up with any aggravation today? If you're living in this world, there's some aggravation. But it's only for a short time. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. Hallelujah. How's faith tested? In the aggravation that we face in this world. Hallelujah. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of His victory. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of His victory. Hallelujah. It's our faith. Losing that one. It's our faith that'll be on display. And so God allowed us to step out in a new realm of faith last June. And I shared a little bit about this the other night in Koinonia, but our faith was challenged. And when we stepped out in faith, unlike we had ever had before, God met us in a place that has totally rocked our world. And, you know, it has given us a privilege to bring hope to many people. And so I'm going to ask Rhonda to come and pick up the story starting back in June. Yeah. Yeah, she has her. What? This is my wife, Rhonda, and she is going to continue on with the story of what took place in our life last year.
Hallelujah. Now listen, in Nepal when they say hallelujah, everyone raises their hands and says hallelujah. Let's try it again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow. You guys are amazing. That is awesome. Okay, I'm going to try to tell the story as quickly as I can. I know it takes me a while to tell this, but, you know, like David said, can God trust you when you're walking through junk? That's the thing that basically is ask us. Can you trust me? You know, I have finally come to the realization, God, I have confidence in you. And I know you're going to take care of all of this. So on June the 13th, just a little over 10 months ago, almost 11 months ago, I had a dream. Actually, I went to bed on June the 13th that night. And in this, as I walked into the bedroom, it was early that night on June 13th. Never forget it as long as I live, of course, because I've written it down. And I laid my head down on my pillow and I said four simple words. God, I'm losing hope. And I went to sleep. Now you're asking yourself, why did you lose hope? Well, our youngest daughter, whose name is Summer, is living a lifestyle she was not raised to live. She knows that it's wrong. How many of you believe with me, deception is a horrible thing? It's horrible. And she's our Bible school graduate. She's led teams on the mission field. and deception has slowly came into her life. And listen, it's all written down in this book. They're $5. Mama, I've fallen in love with Paraguay, and I wish I would have brought my Spanish books. I have them in Spanish now. But anyway, so you can get the book. You can read the whole story, but I'm going to try to share just a few things with you. But Summer started running around with girls that like girls, so you guys know what I'm talking about. And in fact, as I'm speaking now, our daughter lives with a woman who she says she's in love with. Our hearts have been broken. You know, last year about this time, I was even telling God, how can we even serve, you know, do the things that we're doing, God, if we have a child that's living like this? But God doesn't want us to give up. All he's expecting me to do is to trust him. So I stand here and I trust God that he will take care of this. And he will, Gloria, he will. It's been prophesied to us so much that I know that someday my daughter will stand behind this pulpit. I know that I know that I know. And I will not give up hope. But how many of you know that even a pastor's wife, even a missionary, can be discouraged? I mean, it doesn't matter if you've been saved for 48 years, we can still get discouraged. So this night on June the 13th, it was about 9 o'clock, Dave and I were sitting in recliners in the living room, and I just simply said, I'm going to bed early. And I didn't tell him why. I didn't tell him I was even discouraged, because, you know, this has been going on so long now that, but a mother's heart hurts. So I went to bed, laid my head down, said those four simple words to God, and I went to sleep. And in the nighttime, God gave me a dream. Now, God has given me so many dreams. He speaks to me so much in dreams. And you know, a few months even before this, I had a dream that my dad was handing me suitcases. And as he was handing me suitcases, he was spraying them out and cleaning them out like there's something new that's coming. And as soon as I would get it cleaned out, he would hand me another one and hand me another one and hand me. So I knew something was about to happen. And then last year, January, like the first week in January, the evangelist came to our church. And he was just preaching away and walking back and forth and preaching. And all of a sudden, he just stops what he was preaching and looks at David and I. And he said, all of South America is about to open up to you. And I was like, we don't know anyone in South America. But, you know, God knows everyone in South America. And so, anyway, I remember a couple months later in last year, I asked David, I said, you know, I wonder if South America is really going to open up to us. And he said, the prophet said South America would open up to us. And I said, well, should we start working on it? Should we start trying to dig up some people? And he went, nope, we're going to let God take care of it. So June the 13th, I went to bed. And in the nighttime, this is how the dream went. My daughter, Summer, comes running. Now, she has now bought a home with this woman that she lives with. She came running through the bedroom door. Now, I've never even seen the inside of her house, but I was sitting in her bedroom and I was sitting on the end of her bed, and she came running in her bedroom, in the bedroom, and she said, Mama, I've fallen in love. And this fear gripped me, because I've heard this before. And I said, with who, Summer? And she said, Mama, I've fallen in love with Paraguay. I said, who? And she said, Paraguay. And she picked up a newspaper off the floor, and she opened up the newspaper, two full-page write-ups about Paraguay. And she said, this is him. And excitement came into me when I heard him. I didn't care that he had a crazy name like Paraguay. I was just thrilled that it was a him. So if she said it, that's him. And she pointed to the second page. She went, Mama, that's him too. And I looked at that second page. And when I saw, he had on a Navy's jacket, you know, like the old pea coat, the pea jackets. Remember they had the big buttons in the back? And it had it was an olive green color. All of this represents things. If you know anything about dreams, it all represents, you know, an anointing. First of all, if it's a jacket, if it's it's a new mantle. And so I said, Summer, when did this happen? She said, Mama, it was all of a sudden. It was quick. And she was like, clapped her hand. She said, it was quick. She said, it was overnight. She said, in fact, Mama, we're getting married tomorrow. And I said, you are? And she said, yes. And anyway, I couldn't even believe my ears. I was so excited. And I woke up. The dream went on. But anyway, I woke up. And whenever I woke up, I looked at the clock, and it was 7:11. That's how much Summer weighed when she was born. And I jumped out of bed. I could have danced through my house. I went to bed losing hope, and when I woke up, I could have danced all around the living room. And I asked David, I said, David, is there a city in the United States called Paraguay? And he said, no, Rhonda, but there's a country called Paraguay. And I said, there is? And I said, where is it? So I went up to the church to look at this map. He has a map of the world on the wall of his office. So I was looking at the world, and I said, show me where it is. And he pointed to it, and it's in South America. I went, wow, God, it's in South America. And so I told David, we were getting ready to head over to his parents' house in Arkansas, and I told him, I said, David, I don't know, but I feel like that we're supposed to go to Paraguay. And I said, and Summer said in the dream that it happened quick. It was overnight. It was like we're in a hurry. I said, I don't want to wait 8 years. KB and Sue Sheila waited 8 years. They prayed and cried out to God for 8 years. God, please send us some help. Please send us our own missionaries. I said, David, I can't wait. And I said, I think we're supposed to go now. And he said, Rhonda, we're getting ready for our 40-year anniversary, you know, 40 years that my dad had founded the church. And he said, I don't know how we could possibly go. That's going to be the 1st of October. And I said, okay. I said, well, you don't have to go, but I've got to go. I said, because someone in Paraguay is losing hope, and I've got to find them. And he said, you're not going by yourself. And I said, well, you know, if Corrie Ten Boom can do it, then I can do it. She was an older lady, even older than me. Whenever she would walk outside of the airport and sit on her suitcase in Africa and just wait for someone to pick her up because she was that sure. And I told David, I said, I'm that sure that we're supposed to go to Paraguay. And I said, do you believe me? And he said, yes, I believe you. He said, I'll book the tickets. He booked the tickets. We didn't know one person in Paraguay, not one. So that morning, I told him, I said, for some reason, I really feel like that we're supposed to take Peter Radcliffe with us. He's like a soul winner like I've never met in all of my life. He used to travel the world and would set up like crusades. And I said, I just really feel like that we're supposed to take him as a young man. He's only in his 30s. He's got 5 children. And David said, it's funny that you would even say his name. Today's his birthday. And I went, are you serious? So David handed me his cell phone. We were in the car. And so I just simply text Peter. And I said, happy birthday, Peter. May this be the best year that you've ever had. I said, by the way, funny thing, I had a dream last night about Paraguay. 5 minutes later, the phone rings. He's crying, his wife's crying, and they're both on the phone, on speakerphone. And he said, you could have said any other country in the entire world, but when you said Paraguay, you had my attention. He said, it's the one country that I've always wanted to go to, and that I really have felt like that God is leading us to that country. He said, we're in the position right now that we feel like that we need to move, that we need to go somewhere. He said, can we go with you? And I said, sure, you can go with us. David booked their tickets. And then we had to get a translator. So then we had to find out about another man who spoke Spanish that would go with us. So his name is Renee. And so David asked Renee, do you know anyone in Paraguay? He said, I don't know one person in Paraguay, David. And So anyway, he made a few phone calls. So we found out about a man that knew of a man that knew of a man that knew of a man that knew someone that did a little bit of work in Paraguay. And so off we go to Paraguay. And it was in August. 2 months later. You know, this is happening so fast. Do you know that I really believe that the acceleration of things are going to even happen even quicker? Time is running out, and I really believe it's going to happen even quicker. And so we're on the plane, me and David and Renee and Peter and his wife Evie, and we're flying to Paraguay in August, 2 months later. And I told, I looked outside the window as our plane is getting ready to land in a country that I didn't even know existed. So as our plane is getting ready to land, our tires are getting ready to land on the ground, I just simply looked out the window, and I heard God speak to me, and he said, "Thank you for trusting me." You know, all God is looking for is someone that he can trust. That's it. That he can trust you, and then you're going to do what he's asked you to do. And I was that sure that we were supposed to go. So as we landed in Paraguay, we get out of the plane, and Eduardo is the man that we knew of, a man that knew him. He was there at the airport, and there's a coalition of ministers in Paraguay. It's really strange, but there's a coalition of ministers that you actually have to go through to even do anything in Paraguay. Now, remember, Nepal is only about the size of the state of Tennessee. Well, Paraguay is another small little country that's landlocked, just like Nepal. When we read about this stuff, David and I both cried, just seeing all of the similarities to it. And I'm like, why does God send us to all these places that are landlocked? It's like we can never see the ocean. It's like, you know, it's just, but who's he going to trust? Who's going to go? We found out that Paraguay is the least evangelized country of all of South America. We found out that Paraguay has tribal people that have never even heard the name of Jesus. And I'm like, dear God, send us. I'm ready. I'll go, God. And so anyway, we met this man. His name is Pastor Roman, and very stern man. And I thought, Lord, what have we got ourselves into? And so he just told us through our interpreter. He said, first, I'm taking you to the hotel you're going to stay in for the first 2 nights, and you're going to drop your luggage off. Then I'm taking you to a meeting. You have to meet with all of the coalition of ministers in Paraguay, and you have to give account of why you're here. And I'm like, wow. Okay, so we get there to the meeting. After we dropped our stuff off, he drove us to this meeting, and we walked into this room where all these ministers are, and they're big men. They're not little men. They're everyone big men. They're not like Nepalese. I mean, they're big men. So we walked in this room, and here they are sitting around this table, and immediately I started shaking. It was as though I was almost intimidated by them. They were just so big, and they looked so powerful. And so we sat around the table, and each one told about a little bit about themselves that was with us. And then the president, President Santiago, he looked at me and pointed his finger, and he said, "Tell me about this dream." He had already heard why we were there. And as I sat there, I had my Bible, and I said, "Well, turn with me to Acts 16, and I'll tell you why we're here." So I opened my Bible and I read it to them, Acts 16 and verse 9. And in some translations, it says that Paul had a dream. Some translations, it says Paul had a vision. But it also says in the nighttime. So I think it's a dream. So Paul had a dream in the nighttime. And I'm going to tell you my version of it. And in this dream, there was a man from Macedonia, and he was crying out, "Please come and help us. Please come and help us." And what does it say in verse 10? When I read verse 10, I was blown away. It says, he left at once. All of a sudden, overnight, he left. And I was like, that's why we're here. I said, "Pastor Santiago, someone in your country is losing hope, and I've got to find him." And whenever I finished and I told about the entire dream and cried like a baby, and David would try to take over while I was crying, and David pointed his finger at one time to try to tell them something, and his hand was like this, and I was like, oh God, please don't let him point his finger again. Everyone knows we're nervous here. I mean, we didn't know these people at all. So after we finished, the president of this group of ministers, he stood up at the end of the table. And he looked at us, and he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "We, Rhonda, are that man from Macedonia. And we're crying out, God, please send us some help." He said, "You're an answer to prayer." He is such a wow God, and all I could do was cry. And the president, he told us, he said, "Now tomorrow morning, very early, there's going to be someone that's going to come, and they're going to take you to a tribe of people and to a young couple that's working with a tribe of people that are so hard to reach." And he had heard the testimonies about Nepal. We had told him about Nepal, told him about all of the people that these men have actually baptized at one time, and they sat there with their mouth open. And there was one man in particular that sat there like, and his name was Walter. And he made some kind of comment like, "Let's see what God can do with you." It was, and he said it in his broken English, and I heard it, but I was like, "Okay, God, I don't know who is going to pick us up in the morning at the hotel, but guess who God sends to our hotel to pick us up?
Walter."
So Walter picks us up, and when I walked out, I was like, "Oh God, it's Walter. Why would you send Walter?" You know, and God knows everything. Sushila tells me all the time, "Rhonda, don't worry. God knows everything." I said, "Yes, Sushila." So anyway, we load up in the van and we start heading down the road. And the first people we got to many hours later, because it was a long drive to meet, because we'd have to go way back in. It's a Guarani people, right? Is that how you pronounce it? Guarani people. I mean, look how I'm so used to saying the Tharu people. I mean, they're amazing people that have now been reached. And I believe in God that these Guarani people, great revival is going to break forth in the Guarani people, just like that's happened in the Tharu people. So we get there and we meet this little couple, very young couple. She had just had a baby. Her baby was only 2 months old, or no, 4 months old at this time. And little boy, and so she's holding her baby. We walk in their teeny tiny little house that they live in Paraguay. And it was so tiny, not all of us could fit into the little room that we were in. So part of us were kind of hanging outside the door, you know, just sitting there. I sat on the floor right there, and Walter sat right next to me on the floor. And I'm like, before we got out of the van, he made a comment to me. And this is the comment, and I couldn't believe what I heard. But when we walked in, he said, "Now don't give these people hope." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me." And I found out later that many people have come, and they try to give them hope, and they never return. And so I finally figured it out, and I thought, okay, I've got to respect this man. He's the one that's taking us everywhere. So I'm not going to be able to tell my dream here. So we just sat there. Now, Walter hadn't talked to these people. And so when we got there, then Walter asked him and said, "You would like to share your vision with them?" And so the young man, precious little guy, probably in their late 20s, I mean, he starts sharing his vision. And it's just so sad. He said, for seven years, I've worked with the Guarani people. In 7 years, I've seen 10 salvations. I was like, "You got to be kidding. How is this even possible?" In Nepal, they get saved, and the next year they have 350 people in their church. They don't have the Holy Spirit here. That's the secret. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so I just sat there, and we listened to him for about 45 minutes, and then we were getting ready to leave to go actually out to the tribe of people to actually see these people with our own eyes. And so Walter asked Myrta, the young lady, she said, "Would you like to share something with them?" Now, all of you say with me, June the 14th. That's the day I woke up from the dream, okay? So, as we're sitting there, Walter said, would you like to share anything, Myrta? And she said, yeah, I would like to say a few words. This is all through the translator. And she said, you know, we're so desperate here in Paraguay. And we're so desperate here in this, working with this tribe of people. She said, you know, no one comes. No one comes to Paraguay. And no one comes to help us. And she said, and you know, 2 months ago I had a dream. I stopped the translator. I said, what did she say? And Renee said, she said 2 months ago she had a dream. Now, Walter, everybody's listening to this. I looked down at Walter on the floor, and he's just staring at her. He couldn't believe his ears either. And Renee, our translator, he said, do you know when you had the dream? And she said, yes, it was in June. And he said, do you know the date? And she said, oh, yeah, I know the date. She said, I woke up on June the 14th. And God spoke to me in the dream. And God told me, don't be discouraged any longer. Help's on the way. She said, I woke up with hope. And I sat there and cried. And I couldn't tell my dream. So we loaded up in the van and all of us went down and met this group of people. You've heard the story of Nate Saint and the end of the spear, the five missionaries, young missionaries that were killed with a spear some years back. I'm sure you probably heard about them. These guys look like the very same people that killed Nate Saint with the end of the spear. And, you know, but as we stood there, David prayed for every single one of them. So anyway, when we got in the van, I looked at David. I said, David, did you hear what she said? He said, I heard what she said. Evie got in the car and she said, did y'all hear what she said? And we were just blown away. So Walter said, okay, the next place I'm going to take you is another young couple, brand new baby. And they have a little girl. So another young couple, they're probably in their early 30s. So we get to that couple. I'm going to try to make this fast. We get to that couple. Then this couple, they shared with us for hours. We sat under a tree and they just shared their vision with us for hours. And finally, Walter said, okay, we're going to have to go. Let's just pray for them and we're going to have to go on down the road. And so we started praying for them. And Walter asked his wife, Jennifer, I think her name's Jennifer. Jennifer asked Jennifer, he said, it's in my book, I just don't remember all the names. He said, did you want to share something? Because her husband had spoke for hours. And she said, yeah. She said, I would like to share something. 2 months ago, I had a dream. Well, by this time, Walter is sitting in his little red plastic chair way far away from me. And I went, what did you say? I didn't care by this time. I was like, I can't believe my ears. And Renee asked her, what did you say? And she said, 2 months ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, and I said, Renee, ask her if she knows when it happened. So he asked through the translator asked, and she said, oh, yeah, I'll never forget it because my husband was so, so sick. He was sick almost unto death. She said it was June the 14th. She said, I woke up on June the 14th, but in the nighttime I had a dream. And in this dream, a very religious man came walking in my kitchen and he told me, you're very insignificant. You and your husband are so insignificant. Do you realize no one's coming to Paraguay? And if they ever came to Paraguay, they would surely never come here to work for you. And she said, and then she woke up from the dream. But as she woke up, she was waking up. She was hearing the song, Victory in Jesus. And she said, and whenever she woke up, God spoke to her and said, there's victory. Help is on the way. And she woke up. She said, I have had hope now for 2 months that help is coming. And she just looked at us and she said, you're the help. And I was like, who are we? Do you know that God uses the most unlikely people to do his will? We're not Bible school graduates. You know, we're not Bible scholars. But all God's looking for is just someone that he can trust. So then Walter, like I said, he moved his plastic chair. I was sitting right here in front of the lady, and he moved his plastic chair from over there, walked his plastic chair, and came and sat down right next to me. I mean, I thought the man was afraid of me, and he came and sat right next to me. He was like, what did she say? And so we went through the whole thing again about the dream, and I said, Jennifer, I said, you're not going to believe this, but I had a dream on June the 14th. Told her the whole thing. So anyway, Walter said, listen, guys, I've got to go. He said, I've got a meeting at 8 o'clock tonight. He said, because I'm actually going to be flying to Chile. He said, and they're going to be voting on me to be like the, it's almost like the, well, I know, but I'm going to tell it like this anyway. He was going to be voted on to be like the missionary, the director over all of South America. I have to tell it this way or it's going to go on forever. So anyway, so we get in the car and we said, okay, well, we got to hurry because we know we had many hours to drive back to Ascension. So we get in the car and Eduardo, who's the man that knew of a man that knew of a man, knew a man, he was in the car with us and he said, listen, let me take you to the orphanage. He said, it's like actually a girl's home, girls that have been saved out of sex slavery. And he said, and it's the group of girls that I work with, teenage girls that have been so wounded, so hurt. Many, you know, just when you've sold your body and when your parents have given you away to sell your body and just all the horrible things that come with it. He said, just let me take you to this place. He said, it's going to be off the beaten path, Walter, but can we please go there? And Walter said, okay, we can go there, but we have to hurry. He said, because I've really got this meeting at 8 o'clock tonight. So we started driving up the dirt road after we'd driven for hours to find this place. And when we got there, Walter looked out the car window and he said, look at the name of this place. And I, of course, I can't read Spanish. And I asked Renee, I said, what's the name of it? Well, Renee has tears in his eyes. And it's called Hearts That Dream. And I was like, really? You're kidding me. So we all took our picture with the sign. I mean, I couldn't believe it. We met these young girls. And the testimonies that they share would just crush you, would just break your heart. They were everyone losing hope. Do you know every place that we had stepped so far, they were all losing hope. All of them were losing hope. And so then we get to that place, and Peter actually led one of the young girls to Jesus. And Walter was so heartbroken, he sat there and cried. He sat right next to me, and he cried like a baby, listening to their stories about how they're just, they're so discouraged. They've lost hope. They don't even feel like that they should live. All the things that have happened. And so Walter said, you know what? My meeting is starting here in a little bit. We're really going to have to go. He said, but I don't think we're even going to make the meeting. And because you know why? Walter had a meeting with God that night. Walter had a meeting with God that entire day. This was the second time in one day that this had happened. So we're driving, and he said, let me take you all to get you something to eat. Would you like pizza? And we said, no, Walter, just take us someplace really quick, someplace fast, because we know you need to get home and you need to get packed. And he said, as we're driving into Ascension, we're on the outskirts of Ascension. This is in Paraguay, the big city, and kind of on the outskirts, so it wasn't really, you know, populated or anything. He said, hey, there's a burger stand. And it's really neat because all over Paraguay, they have grills just sitting outside, and they have these big roofs, and there's no walls around it, but there's red plastic tables and chairs everywhere sitting around there. And he said, how about a burger? Well, they're called something different there because it's a different kind of meat, but trust me, nothing's as disgusting as Nepal. So I thought everything was wonderful in Paraguay. So he pulls over, and we were so excited. We were just watching this guy. He was like frying these hamburgers on this grill, and on every hamburger they put an egg. And so we were just watching all of this. And Walter said, listen, it sounds like they're playing Christian music. And I said, wow. He said, I've never been to this place before. He said, I don't know who these people are. So Renee, our interpreter, so we walked around and we saw all these little chairs, four chairs sitting around little plastic tables all over. And so I saw that there were two tables put together with the chairs all around it. And I said, hey, Evie, there's a table. It's already set up. Let's go sit there. So we sat down. And so Renee walked over to the counter to a little girl. She's about 16 years old. And he said, okay, we want Fantas and orange and Sprite, you know, just ordering our drinks. And she said, the little girl said, who are you? And Renee said, missionaries. And standing behind her was an 18-year-old boy. Of course, we know now. An 18-year-old young boy standing behind her. And he said, what did you say? And Renee said, we're missionaries. Do you have a problem with it? And he said, "You're the ones." And Renee said, "What do you mean we're the ones? No, we're just sitting in the table right behind where they're talking about this." He said, "What do you mean we're the ones?" And he said, "You're the ones I saw in my dream 2 months ago." Renee said, "Stop." He took him by the arm and he took him over to our table. Now remember, our tables are set up. And he said, "Tell them what you just told me." And he said, "You're the ones that I saw in my dream 2 months ago." And Peter said, "Ask him if he remembers the date." And he said, "Do you remember the date?" And he said, "I'll never forget the date." He said, "On June the 13th, I fasted all day long because we need help in Paraguay so desperately." He said, "I started fasting early in the morning on the 13th of June. I fasted all day long, no food, nothing to eat. I prayed all day long, 18 years old, with a burden for his country. 18 years old. And he said, "I fasted all day long. And finally, at 4 o'clock in the morning on June the 14th, I went to bed and I fell asleep. And when I went to sleep, said, and when I went to sleep, God gave me a dream. And he told me in the dream, 'Don't be discouraged anymore. The missionaries are coming. Now set up the table because they'll be here.' He said, 'For 2 months, these tables have been set here waiting for you.' And I nudged David and I said, 'Thank God we didn't wait for 8 years. For 2 months, those tables have been set up waiting for us.' He said, and when I look down at the end of the table, Peter's holding his fork in the air and his mouth is like, we're in shock. Walter's sitting right next to me and he's leaning over the plastic table and he's crying so hard. Tears are flooding the table. He couldn't believe his ears. No one could believe it. We didn't know these people from Job's Turkey. We knew nothing about these people. And whenever he said this and he walks down, he's a prophet at 18. He walks down to the end of the table where Peter and Evie are. And he said, "And God told me to tell you, welcome home. Paraguay's your home." They just, both of them, no one could eat. We couldn't finish our food. They were hanging over the table. Everyone was crying so hard. We were a wreck. We were a wreck. I mean, this is number three in one day that this happened. And Walter had lost it. And he walked over to Walter and he laid his hands on his back. And he said, "And God told me to tell you that all of South America is about to open up to you and finances will not be a problem." Well, that's it. We lost Walter. He couldn't even believe his ears. He was crying so hard like a baby. I mean, just crying like a baby. And he said, "Before you guys leave, I want to pray for every one of you when you finish eating." So we said, "Well, of course you can." We're in shock. This is an 18-year-old guy. In fact, just yesterday, Peter sent us a message, a private message, and he said, "I have a greeting for you." And it's the 18-year-old boy. I have him on my phone. It's the 18-year-old boy saying, "Greetings to Pastor David and Rhonda." He said, "I love you." And they went there to see him at the hamburger stand. I want you to know that 5 weeks later after we got home, Peter and Evie sold their house overnight, gave away their vehicles, gave away their horses, all their dogs, all their cats, and moved to Paraguay. They now live in Paraguay. I mean, Paraguay now has one of the greatest soul winners of all of Paraguay. They're now learning the Guarani language, this couple that are so passionate, that are so on fire for God. They have given up everything and given their life to God, all because a country is losing hope. And you know, when we were walking out to the car after he prayed for all of us and we got in the car, the young guy came running out to the van when he saw us loading up. And he said, "Wait, I have one more thing I have to do." Well, I'm sitting all the way behind the driver, behind Walter, in the seat behind him. And he pointed to me and he said, "It's to you." This guy knows nothing about me. He knows nothing about my family. We didn't sit there and share anything. We were eating our hamburger to leave. And he pointed his finger at me and he said, "God..." Now remember, he's 18 and he's trying to talk English. and he's speaking so slowly. But you have to remember, what he's getting ready to tell me, he knows nothing about. And he's probably thinking to himself, why am I saying this? This is stupid. But he pointed to me and he said, God told me to tell you, your daughter, she's a woman. Everyone in the van lost it at this point, if you know what I mean. My daughter is a woman. Walter put his arm around me and he said, Rhonda, would you do me a favor? And I said, whatever you want, Walter. He said, invite me to her wedding because I'm coming to Oklahoma. I know. He said, after this trip with you, I have no doubt that your daughter is coming home. Many more things happen, but I can't tell you all of it, so you have to buy the book. When you buy the book, you help us get back to Paraguay. You help us do so many things in Paraguay. I can't even begin to tell you all the things, the list of things that are needed now in Paraguay. But, you know, yesterday I was with Charlotte all day. And I told Charlotte, I said, you know, September can't get here soon enough. I'm so ready to get back to Nepal. I said, it can't get here soon enough. And I said, Charlotte, what better two people to bring to Nepal in the midst of a disaster but you two? They carry hope. They'll be able to flood Nepal with hope. Just like we flooded Paraguay with hope. God's going to use them in the midst of something that tried to destroy them. God will use them. And they will bring great healing to Nepal. Great healing will be brought to Nepal just from the things you're going to speak out of your mouth. Because you've been there. You know, Joseph in the Old Testament that was such a dreamer. In his dream, what happened to him? He was completely supposed to be destroyed. Completely destroyed. But look what happened. He was raised up. He was second in command under the king and saved all of his people. He saved an entire group of people. All of them. Because he did not give up hope. Because he trusted God. So as I'm sitting there thinking about that, and as I'm reading about Joseph and his dreams, and then I look at what he tells his brothers when his brothers came to him. Joseph looked at his brothers and he said, that you tried to destroy me with, God's turned it all around. He's turned it all around for the good. I've watched this couple. God has turned around everything in their life. He has prospered them. I mean, Pastor Jesse is probably one of the best preachers that I've ever heard because he's just so simple. Because God doesn't want someone that's a big Bible scholar that think they know everything. He's simple and he can speak the word. And when he does, hope floods the place. I'm excited about going back to Nepal in September. And David and I, we just got back from Paraguay about 9 days ago. We keep going back. We've been to Paraguay now twice in less than a year. And when we went back the second time, it'll have to be a different book. But whenever we went to speak at a Baptist church that was completely losing hope. We didn't know anything about it till after I spoke that night and shared about the dream. And on the way, the pastor was taking us to this little hotel that we were staying at. And he told David and I, he said, Monday morning, I was turning in my keys. He said, I've given up hope for Paraguay. He said, now listen, when I tell you this, I'm not bragging on me. He said, but you two are the greatest gifts that God has ever given to us and has ever given to Paraguay. He said, I thank God for you. So, you know, I thank God for people who trust God. I thank God for this couple who never gave up. Who never gave up. I mean, look what they just did. They've spent thousands of dollars on feeding preachers to try to give hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. So we had to go back and we had to meet with the coalition of ministers again. And whenever we went back, we had to sit around this big table with all these people. And I was like, not even afraid at this time. They had everyone heard the reports. And by this time, Pastor Santiago, the president, is sitting on the edge of his seat. And he said, Rhonda, tell me everything that's happened. So after about 2 hours of telling everything that happened, because it takes too long to tell everything in detail, after telling everything that happened, he stood up And he said, "Will you do me a favor, Rhonda?" And I said, "Sure, Pastor Santiago. What is it?" And he said, "Please tell me what that newspaper said. Remember, it's two full page write-ups in my dream about Paraguay." And I said, "Pastor Santiago, it must be big because little news isn't put on two full pages." I said, "God's about to do a mighty thing in Paraguay, and I'm excited I can be a part of it." I said, "I can't wait to be a part of it." They sat down with us 9 days ago, the Pastor Santiago, the president of the country, and he said, "Please tell me when you're coming back. They want us there all the time. Please tell me when you're coming back." He said, it's still that Macedonian call. And I feel so honored. 11 months ago, I didn't even know Paraguay existed. I thought it was a city in the United States. But God knew all along. Okay, if I tell this crazy dreamer about it, maybe she'll do something. Thank God. I thank you, God. God, I just pray that you continue to give me dreams, but not only me, every person sitting in this room hearing my voice. God, I pray that you give them all dreams. Blow them away, Father, with encounters of you, God. Show them things that they're to do. Show them places that they're to go, God. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Just stay here a minute. Well, that's just a little tidbit of what took place that first week in Paraguay. It truly was an amazing experience that I was so thankful that I got to experience and see with my own eyes and hear with my own ears. Otherwise, it seems unbelievable, but God is a God that is limitless. Nothing is too difficult for him. And when we give him something to work with, when we give him our lives and give him our faith and give him our trust to work with it, he will do things that will astound us. And so,
you know, one thing in my dream that, and I told David about the dream, and I said, and the guy in the dream named Paraguay had on a Navy's jacket, a pea jacket, and we were looking up everything about it, and David said, "Rhonda, that's the only thing about your dream that doesn't make any sense, because," he said, "it's landlocked, and," he said, "there's no ocean near it." And I said, "Well, then I know that God showed me that man for some reason." Well, come to find out, we found out while we were there from the president that Paraguay is known all over South America as having the biggest Navy base over all of South America. And we're like, "How's that possible?" He said, "Because the river is so huge that runs through here that there's ships and the Navy has to come and guard the ships." And they're I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me." See, God knew every little detail. So I told the president then, I said, "When we come back, I really feel like I'm supposed to speak to the Navy." And he said, "Well, Rhonda, that's really impossible. You can't really speak to the Navy. They won't let outsiders to come in there to speak to the Navy." Well, the first day when we were there, 2 weeks ago, our first stop was the Navy base. It's actually the service base, and I got to speak at the service base to all of these, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, all of them. I got to speak to all of these, like chaplains and just the leaders over each little place. And whenever I got finished, then they kept coming up to me saying, "Can we buy a book? Can we buy a book?" I handed out, I gave away so many Spanish books because my book was now is translated now into Spanish. So I gave away many, many of my books there. And one of the people came up to me and said, "Can you please stay longer in Paraguay? Because I can take you all over Paraguay because this story needs to be shared every single stop." She said, "You'll be able to sell hundreds of books, hundreds of them, if you'll just stay on." She said, "People need to hear this story." So every little detail of the dream has come to pass except my daughter, and she will. It will happen.
Amen. Amen. Just stay right here. Hallelujah. And so, you know, to go back to the prophetic word that God was going to open up South America to us, out of Paraguay, In December, I went to Argentina, did a missions conference there, and then met the Guarani people in the Misiones district of Argentina. Got to go out in some of the colonies. Met a young man, one of the, they call him the cacique. He's like a mayor, like the leader of the colony. And this one young man I was talking to that was the cacique, when I got ready to pray for him, he stopped me and said, he said, before you pray for me, he said, I got to know one thing. He said, are you going to be like the rest of them? See, there's been missions work in these countries. There's been missions work in Paraguay, I mean, for years. But what we found out, it's been all about the project. There's never been a relationship established with the leaders and the pastors. They were void of what's needed most in a human life, and that's relationship. They've been used to promote projects, to promote buildings, to promote other organizations' ideas of what should be taking place. But in the trail, they've left a rubble of pastors' wives, church people that have been left with a void in their heart because there's not been a relationship established with them. And so this cacique, when he asked me, you know, are you going to be like rest of them? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he said, I've had other missionaries pray for me. And when I've asked them, you know, are you going to come back? They say, yeah, we'll come back. And he said, I've never seen them again. He said, are you going to be like the rest? Are you going to just pray for me and then leave and never come back? This was in December. I said, Antonio, that was the name. I said, Antonio, I'm going to take a picture of you. We're going to stand over here. I'm going to take a picture of you on my iPad. And I said, I'm not going to forget you, and I will be back. And so this last 2 weeks ago, we made special effort to spend 3 days, crossed over to Argentina, went back to his colony. I went back, and I walked down the road, and I said, Antonio, I've come back. Like I said I would, I have come back. And he had the biggest smile on his face, and of course, you know, that opened up the whole village. He invited all the kids, and we had a wonderful time there. And so now Argentina has opened up. Tomorrow Monday, a family in America that came to me about 6 months ago had heard of our missions endeavor. I got a phone call on the phone one day, said, can I come and talk to you? He said, my wife and I feel like we're called to missions, and this man would live in another town. He said, can you just encourage us? He said, we're not getting much hope from our family, even from their pastor. He said, we just need encouragement that what we hear from God is true. And so we started encouraging this couple. Tomorrow, they leave for Manaus, Brazil. They have got their visas. They've sold everything, moving to Manaus, Brazil.
In South America.
Never been to Brazil before, but he said, when can you come? He said, I want to show you the work. I said, brother, I'll be there. Eduardo works in Peru, Brazil, Chile, Ecuador. He's got all these places. He wants to take me up boats, up these rivers. And so literally, and then this last trip, again, a long story out of all this, but the translator we brought with us this last trip is from Colombia. And so literally, in less than a year's time, that prophetic word was spoken to us. We literally have contacts in every country in South America now. Only God. Only God can do this. We take no credit. I mean, I am so humbled by this. I'm so amazed that God would choose us. It's like, you know, and as we were leaving the other day from Argentina, and the pastor and Eduardo told us their plan to reach the Guarani people and what it's going to take, and the discipleship that's involved, and the amount of effort it's going to take to touch these people's lives. And he said, we know it's going to take a lot of money. He said, we believe God's going to provide it. But he looked at Rhonda and I, and he said, look, what we need from you, we don't need your money. He said, we need the Spirit of God that's in you. He said, that's what we want from you. Don't pull away from us. He said, we want you and the Spirit of God that's in you. He said, that's your part in reaching the Guarani people. And I said, brother, we're with you. We're with you. And so God's amazing. You know, it just, you know, every time we think about this and tell this story, it just overwhelms us. And yeah. And one day we got a message from Peter after they moved down there. He sent a message to us one day and said, I was reading in a book
And he said, guess what? He's reading about Paraguay. And he said, guess what? He said, Paraguay is known as the armpit of South America. And, of course, those of you familiar, Nepal guns, where we've worked so much in Nepal, it's known as the armpit of Nepal. And so Peter said, I guess God wanted you to have two armpits. So, hallelujah. You know, we're just willing to go. And that was, you know, that was my cry early on. And when I knew God was really dealing with us about ministry and doing missions, I said, God, I said, I'll go. But I said, I don't want to go and build on. So you take me where somebody doesn't want to go, where there's a need. I don't want to go and just walk on somebody else's stuff. And I said, there's too many people that need the gospel. I said, you take us to places where no one will go. If you tell us to go, we'll go. And you know, not doing it for the media, for the publicity. We're doing it for His honor, His glory, and His kingdom. And so I thank God He's stretched out our tent stakes. And now South America has opened up to us because God said it would. And also, one other thing. In Argentina, when I was there in December, again, I never met these people, never noticed them before. But when we did this mission camp, and I noticed this one lady, as soon as I walked in the room, she just kept staring at me. And finally, she asked, Renee was with me on this trip. She said, asked Renee, she said, can I share with this man? I have a word for him. So Renee said, sure. And so she started sharing some things about what she saw about, you know, the Holy Spirit in me, that I've come to this country to release the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, you know, praise God. And then about 3 or 4 days later, we were in one of the colonies, and she came up to me, and through Renee, she said, I have another word for this man. And again, I'd not converse with her. She didn't know anything about me. And so she started talking to Renee. Well, I saw Renee just start crying like a baby, and I thought, oh, man, what's God doing now? And so Renee kept saying, just a minute, let me compose myself, I'll tell you. And so Renee, when he composed himself, he started saying, he said, this woman just told about your family. She said, I see you have two daughters. One of them is her hair is very sunny, fair-haired. The other one looks like her mother, is named after a season. Never met this woman before. She said, the one that's looks like your... like her mother and named after a season, one day she's going to be a powerful minister of the gospel. And everywhere she sets her feet, she's going to bring the glory of the Lord to that place. Now, this woman did know us, saw that I had two daughters. One was not running. And she said, the one that looks like her mother is not with the Lord now. But she said, one day she will. And every place she sets her feet will bring the glory of the Lord. And so, in the midst of all this, God keeps assuring us, you keep building my house, which God spoke to us years ago in Nepal. One morning I was feeling discouraged about some things going on, and, you know, just wanting some things done in our personal life, you know, that would bless my wife. And praying one morning around the table there in Nepal, and God spoke to me and said, if you'll build my house, I'll build yours. And so we have stood to that. We've said, God, we're going to put you first. And we know that your promises are yes and amen. And so you'll take care of everything else. And so we know this issue with our daughter. God has already promised it. Now, it's not the timing we like. But His timing is always perfect. You know, not our timing. You know, we'd like for her to be here this morning with us and sharing about how she was in darkness and now she's in the light. But we know that day's coming. We know that day's coming. And so we say, okay, God, we've given her to you. She's, you know, she's 30 years old. And so it's going to have to be by your Holy Spirit. We've tried by our might and power. And our might and power fell short. But by His Spirit, says the Lord, it will be accomplished. And so, anyway, thank you for just hearing this story today. If you would love to have prayer, if you're maybe you're a parent here today that's lost hope about a child, we can sympathize. We understand, and we will pray with you. Pray a prayer of agreement, You know, we don't have the answers, but we know we serve a God who does. And so if you'd like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Maybe you're just losing hope. Maybe you're just discouraged about the aggravation of life. Life can be aggravating. We're here to tell you today, we're as you can see, we've got some aggravation. But we also serve a God that is bigger than any aggravation. And if we'll just give it to Him, He'll make it something glorious out of it. Amen. So thank you today. Thank you, Faith Temple, for your faithfulness, for your willingness to invest in missions. I thank God that we were here today to be a part of Mission Sunday because you're a part of our lives. And so we just thank God that you allowed us to come and share this with you today. And one day, because of South America has opened up to us, it's opened up to you. You're in Central America, and so point the road a little further south, because now you're going to South America. Amen. God bless you all. We'll be here after the service. If you'd like prayer, Rhonda and I would be glad to pray with you. We love you all very much. God bless you all. Pastor Jesse.
Just stay up. Pastor Roosevelt. Let's all stand. And we're going to pray, and we just want God's, there's been a release that's been deposited in us from these brothers who are faithful to God, been faithful to the things of God and the goodness of God. And as this release and this deposit, we want to hold on to it with everything that we have. So if this has touched you today, how many has this ministered to you, heard these stories, and maybe some of you had questions about God, and can God do this? Let me tell you, you got to just put your faith and trust in God. He's well able. He can do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ever ask or think, according to the power. How many know there's a working power that's inside of us? Yes. The power of His Spirit just moves mighty, and that's what we're seeing. Amen. And we're about to step into something that's going to be absolutely incredible. Yes. And we're seeing that. So I'm going to get them to pray. Pastor David, would you lead us in this prayer? Pray for every person that's here. I don't care what it is that you are facing. We're going to believe God and grab hold to it, and you're going to see God do it.
Amen. Would you just bow your heads and lift your hands up? Holy Spirit, you're the one that knows everything. You know every heart that's represented here. You know every issue that every heart that's represented here has. You know the aggravation. You know the discouragement. You know the sense of hopelessness that exists because these are your people, God. And so, God, those that came in today that were heavy laden and burdened, Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. So, Father, I thank you for a rest from the aggravation, a rest from the discouragement, a rest from the hopelessness. God, may this story, God, this is not our story, this is your story. We were so privileged to participate in it, God. But this is your story of a God that reaches beyond the confines of how we try to define you. God, when we try to define you, we could find you. And so, God, you have stepped outside the boundaries of what we normally think things should work. And so, God, I thank you for overstepping boundaries that people have placed about who you are and how you operate. Just step over those boundaries and just overwhelm them with your goodness. Yes. Yes. Woo! Just let your mercy and grace just sweep over them right now. And give them hope, God. There is a hope. There is a living hope that exists for each one of us today. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who He said has went and descended and took the keys of hell and death. So, Father, we have a living hope. in you and in your Son, Christ Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you now for restoring broken hearts, giving people hope, breaking deception, taking the blinders off of those that said, there's no way out of this situation, or maybe there's no way my child is going to change or going to turn. I thank you today, God, that they grasp this word and say, all things are possible through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me today. So, Father, I thank you for hope being restored. We take the dis off discouragement and say, be encouraged today that there is a God who loves you, who cares for you, and who is not detached from your issues, but he's right there beside you, ready to say, come on, walk through this. Walk through this. Don't give up now. You're too close to the victory. You're too close to seeing the salvation of the Lord come in this situation. Don't give up today. Stand firm, stand fast. See the hand of deliverance move in those situations. Thank you, God, for touching these hearts today. Touch these hearts today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
God is good, isn't he? We're going to ask you if you would. This is our Mission Sunday. We're going to ask you if you would to just ask the Lord, Lord, I want to do my best towards missions. And we're going to ask that you, we're going to have someone at the back, and they'll be there. Just put that in and just say, God, I thank you that you give me the opportunity. And I know sometimes it's not, there's times that God requires of us something when it's at a time when we don't have a whole lot. That's the time that you give it all to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust you. Because get ready. Because what's going to happen through the release that will happen, it's going to be so far beyond you could have accomplished holding on to it. All right? How many are going to agree with that? They'll be standing in the back. Just go ahead and put your gift in there towards missions. God bless every one of you. I love you. Pastor Roosevelt and the family, Pastor David and Sister Rhonda, thank you so much. And everyone here, we appreciate you for just being faithful to the Lord. And we look forward to the amazing stuff that's going to happen in God. Amen? Amen. God bless you. I love you. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.